Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him, let us kneel and bow down before Him, let us confess our sins with penitent hearts, and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and Merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the word of the Lord from the 15th chapter of the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, beginning at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thanks be to God.
But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
In the name of our risen Lord, dear fellow redeemed. In several places in the New Testament scriptures, the term mystery is applied to some aspect of Christian teaching. Jesus used the term mystery in a very broad and general way to mean the teachings that are essential for understanding the kingdom of God. He told his followers, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Entrance into the kingdom of God involves the revelation or the uncovering to a person of things otherwise mysteries, unfathomable and unknowable things apart from the grace of God's revelation. St. Paul defined his office as an apostle of Jesus Christ in this way. He said, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." He and those with him who were charged with preaching and teaching the gospel were to be thought of as stewards, that is, caretakers and administrators of those truths which were revealed to them by God for the salvation of mankind. More than a dozen times, St. Paul links this term mystery to the message of the gospel and what it creates. The mystery, he said, which had been kept secret since the beginning of the world, but which was revealed in the proclamation of the gospel, the mystery of the relationship between Christ and his church, the mystery which creates a bond of fellowship among the faithful. In our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle lays out another aspect of the mystery of the gospel. The apostle's message here is a message of profound and fundamental change. But first, we need to be powerfully reminded of this. Our life in this world, from the moment of our conception to the end of our days, is a gradual transition from physical life to physical death. Death has passed upon all mankind because all have sinned. The sin which is punishable by death is not first and foremost a matter of this or that specific deed. It is the diseased condition that we inherit because that which is born of flesh is flesh. Since the 19th century especially, it seems that under the influence of romanticism and evolutionary theory, there has been an effort to romanticize the phenomenon of death, to explain it away, to make it seem better or more appealing in some way, Oh, death is just a part of the natural order of things. We're conceived and born, and we grow and develop, and then we start a downward trend that ends in death. It's all just a part of the natural order of things. Well, human beings will whistle in the dark to avoid confronting the true horror of the abyss that lies before us. Death is not a benign and kindly phenomenon. In our culture today, great efforts are made to shield our eyes from the harshness of death. At the cemetery, the funeral directors will hide those piles of dirt which will be thrown on top of the casket under those neat-looking green carpets. But the dirt is still there, and it can be hidden for just so long. Flower petals may be strewn on the casket instead of dirt, but those petals too will be reduced to dust. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And throughout the few years we have here, the dust of death is on everything we touch. The thing that puts the stinger in death, to use the apostles' words here, the thing that puts the stinger in death is the harsh reality of sin. And the strength of sin is derived from the law of God. That law demands that we love God with heart and soul and strength, and that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The law exposes our failure to live up to that standard. The law accuses us. The law convicts us. The law condemns us. The law passes sentence. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The soul that sins, it shall die. But now the apostle reveals to us another aspect of the mystery of the gospel. As great as the change from life to death is, there is another change coming for the faithful, which is far, far more dramatic. The apostle here announces to us the undoing of death itself. Under the curse of the law, we are mortal and corruptible. But a force has been at work to change that, to reverse it. Twice the apostle asserts it here. We shall be changed. We shall be changed, he reiterates. We shall be made other than what we are. We are mortal. We are corruptible. That's the harsh reality of our human condition. But this corruptible, he says, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. It must be so, he says. It is necessary that it be so. And why is that the case? Because the Son of God in human flesh has accomplished what needed to be done. He has destroyed the works of the devil. He has brought life and immortality to light. There is victory over sin, death, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the significance of his life and death and resurrection. To celebrate this truth, St. Paul draws on two key quotations from the Old Testament. The first one is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25. In that chapter, the Lord's prophet celebrates in advance of the coming of Christ the victory which he would provide. Death, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. By means of this quotation from Isaiah, St. Paul ties all things together. The prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament, the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God, and the apostolic scriptures of the New Testament. And then the apostle borrows an expression from the prophet Hosea. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? We usually don't think of taunting as being something that is associated with the confession of our Christian faith. But at Easter time, On the basis of the words of the apostle and the prophets here, we see that it is appropriate to taunt. To taunt means to challenge someone or something with insulting, jeering, mocking remarks. The prophet Hosea personified death and the grave and made them the objects of his taunt. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? In ancient warfare, the victors were regarded to have won the right and the privilege to taunt and insult the defeated and the vanquished. The Apostle Paul picked this up and made it a part of his message. Death, the grave, and Satan himself can now rightly be taunted because the Son of God has overcome them. Satan's arrows all lie broken. Death and hell have met their doom, we sing in one of our beloved Easter hymns. And we may do so because of this prophetic and apostolic word. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? We partake of the victory which Christ has won. The message of the resurrection of the Son of God is such a great truth that we can never exhaust the possibilities of celebrating it. We celebrate it as the culmination of the winning of our salvation. All that was necessary to provide for our redemption was completed when our Lord rose from the dead. We celebrate the resurrection whenever the gospel message brings to us the benefits of what Christ won for us. When St. Paul says here that the corruptible must put on incorruption and the mortal must put on immortality, we should not just think of this as applying to the resurrection of our bodies in glory on the last day. This putting on of immortality and of incorruption occurred for us first in our baptism. There a gracious God took us, corruptible and mortal ones, and applied directly to us that immortality and incorruption which the Son of God won for us. And so it is also whenever we hear the gospel, the message that brings life and immortality to light. There in that gospel message, God clothes us in immortality. And we celebrate the resurrection in the miracle of faith, which embraces all these things that the Son of God has won for our salvation and gives to us and enables us to believe. And therefore, the apostle leaves us with this final exhortation. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. The sense of hopelessness, futility, pointlessness imposed by sin and death is vanquished. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.
Let us bless the Lord. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.